Here's what's going on. I'm going to give you a little bit of backdrop. Here's what's going on. Boys, girls, children of all ages, young people, students, beloved. How about that? We like beloved, right? Here's what's going on. Jesus has just come from the Last Supper. Most everyone's heard of the Last Supper, where Jesus gathered together with his 12 disciples. They were called apostles. He gathered together and he shared a meal with them because he knew that literally within hours, Judas, the betrayer, was off to go get a small army and come and arrest Jesus. And what's called the Passion, the part of Jesus' life where he suffered in preparation for his death, was about to begin. So Jesus has had the Last Supper. He's got a full stomach. He's hanging out with his disciples. And he's gone off to this place called the Garden of Gethsemane. He's gone to hang out in one of his favorite spots. It was a beautiful sort of outdoor garden. And there were trees and other kinds of things growing there. But basically, it was just like Jesus' chill spot. It was his favorite place to hang out. And this is what happens when Jesus knows what's coming. So here we go. Starting in verse 36, this is what happens. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, so there are three guys with him, along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Not as I will, but as you will. Not as I will, but as you will. Jesus is God. And yet he still stopped. And he's talking to God the Father. And he said, "Not as I will, but as you will." Let's pray. Holy Lord, we love you. And we're thankful that you've given us the Bible, which is your word. We're thankful that you've given us your Spirit. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, that you came. You lived a real life. You bled real blood. You died a real death. But you rose again. You rose again. We thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a perfect family. Alejandro, although he went by Alex, he married his high school sweetheart. Her name was Elizabeth. And they started this perfect little family, and they had young Carlos, and life was pretty good. And then, after a bit of time, Andrew came along. So it was a cute family of four, the perfect family, and over the course of time, they struggled a bit in their marriage, and things were shaken a little bit. You see, Alex, he worked a lot. And his work called for him to do an awful lot of traveling. And when you're away from home a great deal, it gets hard on your wife who's home with the kids. And so Elizabeth, she got lonely. And it made it all the harder when Alex was offered an enormous opportunity at work. He had been given the chance to go and work in London, you see. He was offered a one-month stint in London. And the paycheck would be enormous. He was going to make $150,000 for a month's worth of work. But he had to go to London to do it. And it was a real struggle. And husband and wife, they weighed the things out and they tried to make the best decision for their family. But ultimately, the money was too much to turn away. And so Alex went off to London. He hadn't been there yet 9 days when his wife and the kids were driving down the road and they were in a tremendous accident. Elizabeth died that day. Now, Elizabeth had a sister, and her sister, she had her own issues. Her name was Sarah, and Sarah and her husband had tried and tried to get pregnant, and they were never able to. And Sarah just had this desire, beyond desires, to have a family. And she wanted kids. She wanted a lot of kids. And so as year after year went by, the pressure continued to mount. And Sarah, she struggled because she just wanted children. And over the course of time, it began to degrade their marriage until the point where they didn't have a marriage anymore. It dissolved. There was a divorce that happened. And Sarah, having heard what happened to her sister, went to the hospital and scooped up the children. You see, she knew that Alex was in London. And before anyone knew it, she was gone. Alex, of course, came home from London as soon as he heard the news. And he flew as direct as he could. And he got there and he arrived and he showed up and he said, "Where are my kids?" And they had to explain, "Well, your sister-in-law has them." And he said, I didn't know anything about this. She had taken the kids and fled. So he went and he talked to his parents. "Do you know where my kids are?" I don't know where she is. He talked to his in-laws. "Where are my children? Where is your daughter? Where has she gone?" And nobody knew. No one knew. So they launched an investigation, and the police got involved, and the FBI came in, and they tried to find out. They tried to track her credit card usage, and they tried to see where she went, and they tried to figure out where she had gone, but she had disappeared. She had gone off grid, as they say, and nobody knew. They couldn't track her down. And eventually, the police gave up. You know, they would call Alex every now and again. "Alex, have you heard anything new?" "No, I don't know where my kids are." Alex, at this point, is absolutely desperate. He's wrecked. He's completely destroyed. His life has been ripped to shreds. He hires a private detective who uncovers some clues, and so he would fly over here to try to figure it out, and nothing would happen. And he would fly over there and thinking that maybe his kids were there, nothing would happen. Time after time this would happen, and he would get his hopes up, and he would go to some strange city, and they wouldn't be there. And he got desperate, and he spent the last of his money, his few dollars that he had left in savings, on advertisements that he put in the newspaper in six major cities. He put pictures of his children. "Have you seen these kids? They're my kids. Please dial this number if you know anything." And weeks went by. And then he heard from a young college student in New York who called and said, I think I saw your children at the laundromat last week." And Alex was broke. He couldn't even afford to go to New York. He went to his parents and begged them for money. "Please, can you give me enough money so that I can fly to New York?" So they paid for him a ticket and some money so that he could get a place to stay while he was there. He showed up at the laundromat. He met the girl. He found his way through the city to this laundromat. And he went to the laundromat, hoping, desperately, trying to find his own children, trying to figure it out. So he went and he sat. And what seemed like forever went by. Hours turned into days, and he sat. The laundromat would open and he would be there. People, families, single people, all of humanity passed before him. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And they would kick him out at the end of the night. And he would show up the next day. And on the evening of the third day, he looked and he saw the face of his son through the mirror, through the window. He saw him. He saw Carlos. his 11-year-old, and his heart leapt. And sure enough, the door jingled as it opened, and in walked the three of them. And immediately he stood to his feet, Carlos! And his boy, Dad, runs, pushing people out of the way. Dad, running. And they embrace, and he holds his son for the first time in months. Oh, Carlos. And time froze, and he opened his eyes again. And he saw his second son. You see, Andrew was so confused. He's just five. And Sarah had gone from his aunt to his mom somewhere in the months of transition, trying to figure it out, the poor kid. And he said, Andrew, it's me. It's Daddy. And Andrew, he grabbed onto his aunt's leg and he buried his face in her side. Then he said, Andrew, it's okay. It's Daddy. And Andrew wouldn't say anything. And Carlos stood there looking at his brother. He said, Andy, it's okay. It's Daddy. Finally, he pulled his little cheeks away from Sarah's side and he looked at his brother as if to say, can I really trust you? Is this really okay? Is this really going to be the end? Because I don't know if I can take it if one more thing happens. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. He's only five. He's lost. And his brother holds out his hand and says, you can trust me. Andrew finally, bravely releases his aunt's leg and takes his older brother's hand. And they slowly make their way across the dimly lit room. And there Alex gathers his boys up. You see the fear and the pain and the agony, the anguish. Nearly 6 months he had been chasing these boys, desperately looking for them. And it was all over in an instant when he scooped them up. My boys are home. He traded everything he had to get them back. He traded everything for his boys. And I'm here to tell you that there is a one who sacrificed his very life for you, who traded it all. He came across the stars for you. He searched for you. He called you by name. And he reaches out his hand and says, will you come home with me? Will you release the world and leave it go? Will you let go of the thing that you think makes you secure so that you can be home? You see, Jesus is reaching out his hand. And he wants you to come home. I want you to go with me to the book of Romans. We're going to go to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What page is it on, guys? 735? 7:85. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. Starting in verse 35. Romans chapter 8. These are God's words to you. So listen. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution? Shall famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Now get this. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, when the daddy stands and reaches out his hand and says, "Come to me." When that occurs in your life and you find your way into his love, you're home. And once you're there, there's nothing that can take you away. There's nothing that can take you away. You're home. You're home. Now, from this, you can draw two conclusions. One is, I recognize that I have been clinging to the things of this world, that I have been holding on to my aunt's leg, and she's the one that stole me away from my dad. She is not my parent. And I'm ready to let go of that. I'm ready to release the things of this world, the securities of this world, the things that I think are important now, because I can see that my daddy, he wants me to be home. And I'm ready to do that. And maybe that's you tonight. And if that's you, I will introduce you to Daddy. I'll do it. And maybe you're saying, "But I already know the Father. He and I, we are good friends. And I know his love for me is real." In which case, the only conclusion you can reach from this story tonight is that I am more in love with my Father now than I've ever been. I have a greater sense of his love now than I've ever had. And I want to worship him. I want to worship him. We're gonna watch one more quick video. And we're going to pray. And I'll be done.
Shout the news to everyone. It's a new day, peace has come. Jesus sings, mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us. Jesus sings. Hope is here, what a joyful noise we'll make as we join with Jesus. night. Jesus saves. Every last, what a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. We'll sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. You save, you heal, restore, reveal your Father's heart to us. You rose to raise us from the grave. Your Spirit lives in us. Sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all Jesus saves. Shout it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves.
Kind of like that song. It's simple, but clear. I'm going to pray now. And we're going to dismiss. Lord Jesus, many of us are grateful for salvation. You have saved us. You have changed us. Like so many people holding their signs, we could each one hold our sign. You saved me from path of self-destruction. You saved me from my sin. You saved me from my disobedience. You saved me from my lust. You saved me from my gossip. You saved me from my hatred and bitterness. You saved me. We all have signs. Ultimately, the only sign that matters is you saved me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And there's some of us in the room who don't know what that means. We don't know what it means to be saved. If that's you right now, with all the heads bowed and all the eyes closed, if it's you that's saying, okay, what's this all about? They keep saying Jesus saves, but I don't even know what that means. If you want to know what that means, if you're ready for Jesus to rescue you, to save you, to transform you, to make you new, I want you to lift your head and I want you to look at me. Are you looking at me for that? Are you looking at me for that? Are you looking at me for that reason? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come stomp on your toes. Anybody else says, I want what you got. I'm in. I'm ready for Jesus. Anybody else? Okay. here's what we're going to do. I'm going to, you can look up now. I'm going to tell you that I love you and that I want to know you more, and I want to have some impact in your life. I want it to be real and meaningful, not just some guy with a microphone. Some of you already know that because you've been around me enough to know. I love you guys. If you looked up at me because you want to know Jesus, I'm going to go through that hall and into a little room right over there. And everybody else is going to hang out and chit-chat, and Mr. Early will play some cool music videos, and you guys are free to do what you'd like. But if you want to find out what it means, and you want to meet Jesus, and you're ready to reach out and take him by the hand and never let go, then find your way into that room. It's right through there. And if you're with one of those people and you want to go with them, that's fine too. So if you want to take your friend with you because you're not quite sure what's going to happen, that's okay. But if you want to meet Jesus, I'll be right through there.